Well, now to calls for new national guidelines so extremely low birth weight babies in our neonatal units receive a correct amount of nutrients to grow into healthy children. Dr. Barbara Cormack's a specialist neonatal dietitian at the University of Auckland's Liggins Institute and author of a recent paper that explores reducing refeeding syndrome in babies with extremely low birth weights. Refeeding syndrome can occur when malnourished people can't process nutrients in normal diets, resulting ultimately in heart failure. Refeeding syndrome's been observed in people with severe anorexia in prisons of war, for instance, when a person who's starved is given nutrition without enough phosphate in it. To explain more about how this applies to low birth weight babies, Dr. Barbara Cormack is with us in the Tamaki Makaurau studio. Kia ora and welcome.
Good morning, Catherine.
Could you explain a little bit more about your specialty, a neonatal specialist dietitian, and the work that you do with preterm babies?
Well, being a specialist neonatal dietitian means I work primarily with preterm babies, but also with babies that are sick enough to be admitted to a neonatal intensive care unit. And that's an area that I've become very interested in as a result of working at Green Lane and National Women's Hospital when National Women's was over on the Green Lane site. And I started working with a fantastic group of neonatologists and nurses who were very interested and involved in research and started to do neonatal nutrition myself to try and work out how best to feed these preterm babies.
What are we talking about with the extremely low birth weight babies? Typically, how prem and what sorts of weights are we talking?
So these babies range from as little as 350 grams to about 1 kilo, the most preterm babies, the smallest ones. And they're born after about 22 to perhaps 28 or 30 weeks of gestation instead of 40 weeks.
It's incredible, isn't it, that where science has got to and medicine has got to, that these tiny babies, these very prem babies, can survive. When you think about the average weight for a full-term baby, it's more like 3.5 kg, yeah?
That's right. So the very smallest babies are about one-tenth of the size of a normal baby born at term. And so it's quite hard to imagine how small that might be. But if you look at your own hand and think about the fact that you could hold one of these babies in your hand, that will give you an idea of how small they are.
For the slightly more full-term but still low birth weight babies, typically what might they be weighing and how prem might they be?
Well, some of the other preterm babies would be less than 1,500 grams, and those babies still have some issues with the fact that they've been born preterm. And even babies that are born at less than 2.5 kilos are considered small.
So what is refeeding syndrome when we apply it to prem babies or low birth weight babies?
So we've really only thought about refeeding syndrome in terms of preterm babies for almost the last decade. And that's because about that time, it began to be suggested that the fact that these very preterm babies are born with such very low nutritional stores, which is one of the reasons why they're so small, because they've been born before that transfer of nutrition stores from the mother to the baby in the last few months of pregnancy. Sometimes they're small because they've been exposed to maternal undernutrition, and sometimes they're small because they have had a placenta that hasn't been working efficiently, and that has meant that they've not received the normal nutrition that a baby would normally get during pregnancy. So that combination of things might lead us to a point where, okay, let me put this another way. At any other time of life, a person with such low nutrition stores, only maybe 2% of fat in their body, we would call that malnutrition. And so that's how preterm babies were, you know, potentially thought to be exposed to the possibility of refeeding syndrome.
What is its actual... what sort of a syndrome is it? Is it physiologically? What's happening or not happening in the body?
So that very low amount of phosphate in the bloodstream, and in some cases a high amount of calcium is detrimental to all sorts of processes within the body. I mean, you've just been talking about phosphate. We know that phosphate is really important for health and growth. We put phosphate on our gardens. So it's a really important nutrient that we don't necessarily think about as much. We don't go around talking about how people are low in phosphate, do we? But it is such an important nutrient that when there's not enough, our bodies start to dissolve our bones to provide enough phosphate for those body processes. And then that, as well as releasing phosphate, also releases calcium. So that's why you get the combination of the low phosphate and the high calcium.
It's a strange word, refeeding. It suggests some kind of process happens.
Well, it's really about the fact that you've got someone who's been starved and then you refeed them.
I see. Yeah. So what is treatment in the case of preem babies? And we should say this study is unique, I think, in New Zealand, isn't it? What's happened here?
Well, the thing is that we've, up until now, it's been an international recommendation for over a decade to not give babies like this phosphate or calcium or magnesium or potassium in the first 2 days after birth. So that's a global recommendation. So the fact that they were not getting those nutrients has possibly exacerbated that risk of refeeding syndrome. And so now that we know that this has been happening, we're able to monitor their phosphate, the amount of phosphate in their blood, in the first few days after birth. And that means that if we find that there's a drop, we can do something about that by giving them some extra phosphate.
This is
which brings it back up to normal.
This is very important because I think something like a fifth of low birth weight babies have refeeding syndrome. And what, unfortunately, is the prognosis for a proportion of them?
Well, what we found in our study, which was a study of 338 extremely low birth weight babies in New Zealand, and this was over a period of 4.5 years, we found that 1 in 5 was experiencing refeeding syndrome, and that was associated with some really important health outcomes for those babies. So we found that babies who had the lowest phosphate in their bloodstream were 5 times more likely to experience a severe brain bleed, which would be serious enough to put them at much higher risk of less than optimal neurodevelopmental outcomes.
Where are you left at the end of the study with recommendations for what to do and what you've learned now? Obviously, it begins with the monitoring and then what's the intervention that evidence suggests will make a difference?
So there are two things that we can do. The first one is to try and prevent refeeding syndrome occurring. And since we have, when we found these results, we reported the results to all of the neonatal units in New Zealand and discussed the results with them individually. And so we, in our unit, have decided to start giving the babies more phosphate in the first 2 days of life. And several of the neonatal units are doing that. And we're also monitoring them in addition to that to make sure that we catch, if that serum phosphate drops, that we recognise that and treat it immediately.
Do you believe you're at the point now and have evidence now that national guidelines are justified?
I think that it would be very useful for us to have national guidelines for neonatal nutrition in New Zealand, because during this study we found that there was a lot of variation from one unit to another in how many of the babies had refeeding syndrome. And one of the important things, probably the most important thing that we found, was that the babies who had refeeding syndrome were 3 times more likely to die before they were discharged from hospital compared with the babies that didn't have refeeding syndrome. So this is a really important finding, and this has changed clinical practice in New Zealand and internationally.
What's happening also as children age? Are there other studies following children through childhood and beyond?
Well, this study is actually part as a sub-study of a much bigger trial called the PROVIDE trial. And that trial is looking at whether an additional intake of protein during the first 5 days after birth will improve their neurodevelopmental outcome at 2 years of age. And we're actually following up the last baby today and doing the assessment at 2 years of age. So we expect to have the results of that study later this year. But those children are also, because the first one was randomised about 7 years ago, those children, some of them have already turned 5 and 6. So we're starting to follow those children up at a later age as well. So we're going to get some really good information from this.
It's outside of where you're focused, because you're focused on the new babies and their mums and those early years. But you mentioned the same syndrome can be experienced by people with anorexia, by people who've been through intensive cancer treatments, I understand, by people. Alcoholics, potentially as well. Are there ramifications for this for treatment for adults, do you believe, for others to pick up and study?
Well, I think that because we recognise that this happened, particularly after World War II, and so we've known since the 1940s and 50s that this was potentially an issue for those people, the identification of refeeding syndrome and the treatment of it is much more developed in adults and children. So this is something that we expect to potentially happen in 20 to 40% of malnourished children and adults. And so that's one of the reasons that we've implemented malnutrition screening in hospitals. So when people are admitted to hospital, one of the things we do is screen them for malnutrition, because that will alert us to the fact that they might be more at risk of refeeding syndrome.
Barbara, thank you. It's always fascinating work that comes out of Liggins. Thanks very much for your time. Dr. Barbara Cormack, specialist neonatal dietitian at the University of Auckland's Liggins Institute, on this ongoing work they have done on refeeding syndrome as it occurs in very low birth weight babies.